Good morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah, winter is with us, eh? That's for sure. But I'm glad you're here. It's nice and warm and toasty in here. So we're all good. Who watched a bit of rugby yesterday? Yeah. Those spaghetti eaters almost gave us a bit of a scare. But we prevailed. So that was good. I tried not to shout too much. We had visitors over, so I had to behave, but he was shouting more than me, and I'm not looking at Gert at all. So, what an amazing time of worship, eh? What a nice time just to be in his presence and to just exalt him. And like Gert says, all of us walking in here, you're in a different season and a different time of your life. Some might be on the mountaintops and some of you in the valley. You know what? God is the same. And that's what we're busy with. We're talking about He is. And I mentioned this last week. And I said, when a baby is born, mom and dad looks at the baby and the doctor. And they look and they see two hands, two feet, two ears, a mouth that's very vocal at that moment. And they look at that little bundle of joy, not knowing what's coming. Hey. For those who are parents and grandparents, you know what's coming. So they're still in that moment of, oh, it's a cute little thing. Sterkte, papi, is all we can say. Do you know why the doctor smacks that bum? Because he knows what's coming. So they give him his first hiding right there. Friends, but they look at the standard that the world is saying, this is perfect. Then a calf is born. They don't look for two arms anymore. Now they're looking for two, four legs. So the scale is very different. Friends, when you and I talk about God this morning, again, I just want to tell you, it's impossible for us to put God on a human scale. It's impossible. You know, I can't measure and say, this is who He is. And I think sometimes for the intellectual people here, we try and figure God out. And we say, you know what? I think I've got a grip on it. You will never have a grip on it. Because tomorrow morning, He will show something new. The day after that, He will show you something new. It will take me and you eternity to understand who He is. And I think for this time, this short moment we have here on earth, friends, every morning there's going to be a glimpse of Him that He's just going to reveal more and more and more. I started the year off and there was one or two prayers that we looked at. And the one was in Ephesians 1:17. And Paul writes this to the church and he says to them, I pray for the God of wisdom and spirit, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know Him better. Friends, when you and I spend time with Him, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And it says here in this verse in John 16:14-15, He will glorify me. Who is He? The Holy Spirit. For He will take what is mine. So He says the Holy Spirit will take what is mine, Jesus. And He says, and I will declare it to you. Friends, you and I, every morning, the Holy Spirit declares more and more to us about Him. That's why He's with us. That's why we got to be Him, let Him lead us. That's why He's got to be the one in charge. And every morning, as we spend time with Him, every day as we're in the car talking to Him, He says, the Holy Spirit reveals more to me and you. Friends, that is exciting to know that we've got God's Spirit living in us, guiding us and leading us and showing us more. So when we talk about He is, understand this morning, friends. In your human, this thing that you call a brain, you and I will never fathom the bigness, the vastness, the magnitude of who He is. We can't. I tell you, it is just too much. When Moses stood in front of Him, when he left there, the people actually said to Moses, please just cover your face, because it's just too much. But it's amazing that it gets to that point where that veil is torn, hey? And He reveals Himself to me and you every single day. Friends, you and I have that amazing privilege this morning that you can speak to God. I've said it so many times in a joking way, in a serious way. You don't need to hear God through me, through Lainey, through Terry, through Laura. You can go tomorrow morning, you can in His presence say, Lord, I'm here this morning, talk to me. Remember what was said, and I'll recap it now. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. How many times have we said, Lord, we invite Your presence here? And He's probably going, but I've been here for an hour already. Why invited me? Actually, you coming into my presence. Sometimes we think the band is getting ready to usher his presence in. My friend is here. He's here. He's omnipresent. He's always there. He's always there. And that's a scary thing. When you and I mess up, when we do good things, when we do amazing things, when we do not so amazing things, God says, I am present. Friends, I don't know about you, but this morning in our time of worship, I just feel there's some of you that you feel God is not present. He's far away. I want to tell you this morning, a loving Father He is. He is present. He is near to you this morning. He's close to you. And not because it's a nice setting and a nice surrounding. When you leave this building and you go home, God says, I am with you. When you walk into your workplace that you feel is like the worst place ever, God says, I am with you. When you go into that situation where you feel, I'm anxious, I don't know. When you're writing exams, when you're going through these things, there's some of you that your workplace is causing so much anxiety. Friends, I want to tell you, in that time, in that space, God says, I am near. I am with you. Don't forget that, friends. Don't forget that. You are not walking alone into that. The first one that we said, that was the last one. What is He's omnipotent. In other words, He is all powerful. Now, I've started this gymming thing. There are days that I just love that gym, and there are most of the days I hate that gym. I realize I'm getting old. Okay. I don't look at, I mean, for 25, I'm not looking too bad. Thanks for those laughing. You know, you do a certain weight. And when you go away, the youngster coming in, he looks and he goes, oh, shame, Wim. And I'm like, futsak, man, get out of here. He makes me feel like an old man because that weight for me was impossible. And he just takes his one arm and goes, oh, shame, Wimmy. And I'm like, I rebuke you. Get behind me, Satan. Friends, it takes a muscle 24 hours to 72 hours to recover before you can do it again. Do you know that when God releases power, He doesn't say, oh, I need to go rest now. There's not an emptiness in Him. He is all powerful consistently. Consistently. When God says, I will give, when God says, I will look after, it's not like a moment. God will do it always. He's all powerful. And God is omniscient. He knows everything. Scary and amazing, but God knows everything. There's some of you that are worrying about your future. There are some of you that are worrying about tomorrow. God says, I know it. I know it. I know it's going to happen tomorrow. I know it's going to happen in 10 years' time. Just rely on me. Just hold on to me. There's some of you that are making your plans to do little things. Friends, line up with Him and say, God, what are you saying? Because you know everything. You and I have that security of falling in line and say, Lord, you lead, you guide, because you know. Friends, when you, as a couple here, they're not here today, I went on a game drive with this one guy. It's the most amazing thing when he stops and he can tell you everything about that buck. It's when somebody's passionate about something, it's a nice hey. And it's so nice and comforting when you drive and they can tell you about everything. It's so, friends, I want to tell you, it's comforting when you know God knows everything. It's comforting. It's just that security and that peace to know God knows. Friends, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. There's sometimes I even open God's word and I go, man, I've never seen this. I don't understand this. There's so much I don't understand. God says, but I know. I know. Hold on to Him. Just hold on to Him. So today we're going to look at the character of God, and we're going to carry on next week with part two of this. Impossible for me to try and open this up. It is just so difficult, but I'm going to try and give you a certain few things that we're going to look at. So it's literally a little bite size. So I'm going to give you like a little boudevors roll this morning, and next week you're going to have a hamburger, okay? But we can't give you the full spread. And as we started the series, as we're looking at this, friends, I truly trust that every morning you can go, Holy Spirit, show me more. Reveal to me who you are. Lord, just open my eyes to see you every day. Let that revelation sink in and you understand. Friends, it's great for me to tell you He's all powerful. But when you go through things and you get that revelation, it is very different to understand that He is all powerful. So this morning, we're going to look at God is holy, God is righteous, and God is just. God is holy, righteous, and just brings together three core attributes of God's character that are deeply connected, yet each carries its own unique meaning. Okay, so here we go. First one. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I preach, and as I'm standing and I look at my notes, the band has already started singing half of my sermon, and I'm going, how did they get my notes? It's basically impossible, because I know one person gets my notes, and that's the AV guys. That's it. I'm like, how did Gert get my notes? So he came to my house last night, he stole my iPad, and he took the notes, and it doesn't work like that, friends. So God is holy. To say God is holy means he's completely pure, morally perfect, and set apart. He is set apart from all sin, all evil, and all imperfection. Isaiah 6 verse 3 says this, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Revelation 4 verse 8, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. It is not just an aspect of who he is, friends. It defines everything about him. He is holy. God is holy. What does this mean for me and you this morning? A couple of points here. The first thing is, there is a call to reverence. God's holiness means he is worthy of awe and worship. Because he is holy, he is worthy of our worship. Friends, and I want to tell you, there's something that Scripture teaches us, and I think it's something that's lost in the world today. God says through Scripture that we must fear him. And I think that that fear of God is being lost in church today. I think people are in a place where God is their buddy. I want to tell you, very respectful, he's not your buddy. He's not, friends. He is the holy God with fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. That is who he is. He is the leader. He's in charge. He runs in front. He walks in front. He speaks and things come to an existence. He holds planets and stars in his hands. This earth is his footstool. That is who he is. And you and I think he's just a little genie in a lamp that we can rub. And when we need him, he comes out. And when we're done, we want to put him back in that bottle. That is not who he is, friends. He says, I'm the creator of heaven and earth. That is who he is, friends. And you and I need to understand this morning, we need to be in a reverence. We need to be in a fear, in an awe of who he is. And when I say fear, it's not like somebody's breaking into your house and there's this fear. I think it's that respect that you and I have for God. I love it when people pray, but maybe I'm, please just hear me out, but oh, my daddy, my chummy, he's not that, my friends. He is our Father, but he is God Almighty, the Holy One. And I think that we just need to understand, we need to walk in this holiness, in this awe, this worship, in this reverence of who he is. We don't approach him casually. His presence is sacred. Remember when Moses got close to that burning bush, what did God say to him? Take off your... Why? Because this is... Was the ground holy at all? It's got nothing to do with the ground. It's God's presence. He's there. God is holy. Friends, and when you and I understand this, there's something that you and I got to give away. There's something that you and I got to take off to be in a place where we understand that you're standing on holy ground. We need to walk in that. Second thing, there's a call to purity. God's holiness sets the standard for our moral lives. I love this verse, but it's a scary verse. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. Be holy because I am holy. Friends, there's a call to me and to you that he says, be holy. That's for me and you. In other words, you and I need to be set apart. That's what that word means, to be set apart. As believers, we're called to reflect his character in how we live, how we think, and how we love. When people understand and they look at us, they got to understand we live differently, we talk differently, we do things differently. Friends, I'm flabbergasted to sometimes think that people want to, because you know what, the thing is, people think as soon as I surrender to God, I can't have fun anymore. Please come hang out one weekend with me. You'll have a lot of fun. Ask my wife. She cannot stop laughing. I've got dad jokes coming out of my head. Just like it's man, I'll tell you, I will drop you on the floor with them. I'm going to do stand-up comedy here once. I'm joking, I will never do that. Friends, you know what? I think that we think Christians, we just need, sometimes Christians do look like they suck lemons, hey? Their faces express something else. You know what? What's part of the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. It's there. It's with us. Friends, and I think that you and I need to understand that we need to live a life that people can look and say, man, there's something different because we set apart. As believers, we're called to reflect His character. We are transformed into whose image? His image, friends. Every single day, we're going from glory to glory, and we pray, and we do, and we work, and we surrender to become more and more like Him so that you and I can walk, and we can reflect His character. That people don't see me, people will see Him. When people come and talk to me, and here's my witness, and I've learned this from my wife, I've learned this from many people. If you're going to ask me for any advice, please listen to me this morning. My first response will always be, what is God telling you? Because you got to hear from God, friends. And then we're going to journey together. But you got to hear from God. He's talking to you. He loves you. And He's with you. But our work is always to point people to Jesus. That is who we are. That come to me. I want to show you who He is. Man, I'm madly in love. Let me show you who He is. Our lives will reflect His character. Not my character. Man, there's flaws in this character. Trust me. There's a lot of flaws. I find that out every Monday morning. There's flaws here. There's things happening here. You know, like we said, then it's just a simple example. When that taxi cuts in front of you, you realize there's vocab in your life that should not be there. You need to work on that. There's some lack there. Friends, we need to reflect God's character. There's a call to purity. The next point, a call to humility. Recognize God's holiness. Show us how sinful we are. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 6 verse 5. Woe is me. But this also draws us to the grace of God who makes us holy through Christ. Friends, there's a call to humility. There's a call to humility. Humble yourselves before Him. The next one, there's a call for transformation. In Christ, we're not only forgiven, we're being made holy, sanctified. Holiness is both a position set apart in Christ and a process growing in godliness. I want to say that again. Holiness is both a position set apart in Christ and a process growing in godliness. God's holiness is His absolute purity, moral perfection, reveals how glorious He is and how serious sin is. But through Jesus, we are invited into His holiness, not by earning it, but by receiving it in grace and living it out in obedience. Second point this morning, God is righteous. God is righteous. He always does what is right, just, and good, according to His perfect standard. His actions, judgments, and character are completely free from any error, injustice, or moral flaw. Like I said to you this now, my character's got flaws. And if yours doesn't have you lying right now, there's your first flaw. We realize we got flaws, friends. When you and I gaze on this beautiful face, when we look at Jesus, when we look at our Father, we've got the Spirit, we realize that He's flawless. He's beautiful beyond description. That He is perfect. He's righteous. Psalm 145 verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works." Jeremiah 23 verse 6, "In His days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which He will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." The Lord is our righteousness. God's righteousness is closely connected to His justice. But it also goes further. It's not just about fair judgment. It's about being right in essence and doing what is right always. So again, what does this mean to me and you? Number one, God can be fully trusted. God can be fully trusted. He never makes a mistake, bends the rules, or act unfairly. Friends, do you hear this? We live in South Africa. This is our motto, but the opposite. He never makes mistakes. He never bends the rules or acts unfairly. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at it and I go, shh, God, that wasn't fair. Lord, that's not fair. Look at that person. Is he like the special one? Look, that's not fair. Friends, God is always fair. He's always fair. Again, our human scale says that's not fair. But when you put that scale away and you're sitting in his presence and you understand who he is always fair. His ways may be mysterious, but they're never wrong. His ways is never wrong. Some of us think that way. We think, no, Lord, that this way doesn't make sense. It's impossible. I mean, help me out here. How many men did David land up, not David, landed up with 300 men? But it started off with thousands. God says, no, no, no. And it ends up with 300 men out of thousands. Friends, that's wrong. I'm going into battle. God, I need more people that I can go. I need everybody. God says, no, no, no. This is my ways. Friends, when God says, go to this city and just march around the wall. Just march. Don't do anything. Don't bulldoze it. Just march around it. And someone take your band and let them walk in front. Let them worship. You know what? It doesn't sound, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning and I want to fight, I want to use my fist and I want to get angry. God says, no, 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 worship. And you go, Lord, that doesn't make sense. God says, and he comes in his economy, he says, you know what? Take your money and give it away. And you go, but Lord, it doesn't make sense. Because the world is going into a bit of a spin here and things are not looking good. Our petrol price is up. God says, yeah, yeah, but that's not my ways. This is my ways. It's very different. Friends, but when you and I stand back and we don't look at the human scale and we say, God, what are you busy with? Because you're always right and you know everything. Lord, help me to understand that your ways is mysterious to me, but it's always right. It's always right. This gives us confidence in his promise and his judgments. Number next, God is the standard of right and wrong. Righteousness isn't based on a human opinion. It's based on God's nature. What is good because he says it and because he is good. We fall short, but God provides righteousness through Christ. Romans 3:10 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. We can't meet God's standard on our own. But God gives us the righteousness of Christ when we believe. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, there's a call to live righteously. To me and to you this morning, there's a call to live righteously. Matthew 5, verse 6 says this, hunger and thirst for righteousness. In short, break it down. What is righteousness? Being in right standing with God. Being in right standing with God. Matthew writes this to me and to you, and he says, hunger and thirst to be in right standing with God. Friends, do everything possible. Do everything, work at it, go at it day and night to make sure that you're in right standing with him. Righteous living flows from a heart that loves God and desires to reflect his character. I've said it earlier and I'm saying it again. We're reflecting his character, friends. It is about him. And let him change us from the inside out. Let him do the work. God is righteous. He's always right. He's always just. He's always good. His righteousness guarantees the trustworthiness of his word, the justice of his judgment, and the hope we have in Christ. Though we fall short, he offers us his righteousness by grace and calls us to walk in his ways. Second, last one, God is just. This means he's perfectly fair and morally upright and always gives each person what is right. His justice means he upholds truth, rewards righteousness, and punishes sin without favoritism, corruption, or error. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says this, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. God's justice is not just a principle, it is a part of his character. He doesn't merely act justly, he is just. Friends, that again brings security to me and you. What does it mean to us? God will judge all things rightly. Every wrong will be addressed, every sin judged. Nothing escapes his notice. Can I tell you, when you start talking about sin, people hide and people go, oogats. I hope we're not going down that road. You know what, friends? The reality is this. We all fall short. But I love this. He says, those who come to him and ask, he says, they will be forgiven. But you've got to understand that sin is still sin. God hates sin. It's not like, oh, friends, you can't dabble in the things that are not of God. You've got to understand that this morning. Those are the things, those little foxes, those little things that's stopping me and you to reflecting his character, that are stopping me and you to walk in the fullness of what God has got for us. Those are the things that's hindering us. Those are the little blocks that you and I built that blocks our relationship to be intimate with him. It's a sin that we carry in our hearts. And you and I know what it is. You and I understand. We know fully. I don't have to. We got the Holy Spirit inside of us. He convicts us. Hey, I don't know about you, but the moment I got aware of that Holy Spirit just bringing that awareness when you mess things up, I was like, why did I get aware of that? Because sin is lacquer. Okay. There's some things that you do that are, it's now all of a sudden you walk and you go, see me so lacquer. Because you know what? It's grieving the Holy Spirit. It's grieving God. It's not, and he just comes in such a loving way and he goes, DJ, that's not right. And you go, I know that. I know it. But he just gently comes. And that's why it says he convicts the world of their sin. You and I don't have to do it. He comes and he convicts. He comes and he does it in his ways. Friends, and you and I have the Holy Spirit that just brings us back in line. He's the one that guides us and leads us. And when we walk in these things, he just brings us back and say, you know what? Have a look at this. Friends, I want to tell you, what happens in the dark will come out in the light. It does. It really does. And that's for all of us. Now, you're thinking, oh, the government and all these things, lacquer, they'll come out. Friends, it's all of us. What happens in the dark will come out in the light one day. Just confess it. Lay it before him. We've got such a faithful God that when we confess our sins, he forgives us. He forgives us. We've got a loving Father this morning that says, bring it to me. I love this. As much as he's all-knowing, do you know that God can forget something? And I say it. But he says, when you come to him with your sin that you've asked forgiveness, he goes, what are you talking about? Because I removed it as far as the east is from the west. That's amazing, eh? He knows everything, but he talks to you like in a father way, like, what are you talking about? I don't know what that is. It's amazing. If it was the north or the south pole, you're not going to go pick it up because there's a point. But the east and the west, there's nothing. It's gone. Friends, when we confess and we lay it before him, it's gone. Now, I know there's a lot of people that lives in hyper grace and you think you can just carry on and on and on. I don't believe in that. Okay. I think there's a line that you've got to understand. When you want to get closer to God, there's certain things you've got to stop doing. You've got to understand there's certain things you've got to surrender to him. Not just go, ah, he'll forgive me. No, no, no. I love my goals, but if there's things they do that they must stop it. Otherwise, the belt must come out. Okay, they're big now, so now we just take cell phones away and Wi-Fi passwords. Don't let God take your Wi-Fi password away. That might be very dangerous. God will judge all things rightly. This gives us hope and to the oppressed and reminds the powerful they are not above the accountability. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whatever good or evil. Number two, sin is serious. Because God is just, sin cannot be ignored or overlooked. This shows the true weight of wrongdoing and the necessity of the cross. Number three, the cross reveals God's justice and mercy together. At the cross, God punishes sin and offers forgiveness at the same time. We are called to act justly. As God's people, we are called to reflect his justice in how we treat others. Micah 6 verse 8 says this, he has shown you, O man, what is good, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. God is just. He judges rightly, upholds truth, and defends the innocent. Through his justice, would rightly condemn us. His mercy through Christ offers us justification to be declared righteous in his sight. Jesus has done it all for us, friends. It's for me and you to surrender to him. I've got another point, but I'm not going to get to that. Friends, we serve such a beautiful God, such an amazing God. He is holy, He is righteous, and He is just. He is holy, He is righteous, and He is just. I want the band to come up. And they almost landed with a one song, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty?